sure got to be able to represent that kid on the hill.
Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
All right, and good morning. Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope everyone out there is having a great start to their day so far. It is Thursday. It is March 26th. It is a couple minutes past 10 a.m. And Brandon Orrick, it's a beautiful day outside.
It is.
It is. Hey, I don't know about you guys, but man, have I enjoyed the weather yesterday. And I think I'm going to enjoy this weather today. We could all use a little sunshine right about now. And we are sure.
What are you going to do about it? You can't go outside.
Of course you can go outside.
No.
Brandon, I will tell you what. I have seen more people at parks, going on walks.
Are they social distancing?
Out with their dogs. I think they are. But just kind of out and around town.
You think?
Hey, more people are out walking and at parks, less people are driving around on the roads. Maybe that's something we can take away when this is all said and done.
It's nice to see.
It's nice to see. Chuck gets me.
Me and my roommate go on a walk every day.
You're dang right.
We walked like 4 miles down by the river yesterday.
Isn't it nice to see people just out and about?
You see everybody.
Around.
You don't get too close.
Yeah.
They walk by. You step to the side. You know.
Yeah.
But it's six feet, Chuck.
But
six feet.
Good. It's good to just see people out there in the world. It's good to see people out of their cars, out of restaurants, and just throwing a frisbee.
Yeah. You'd never caught me on a walk if it wasn't for coronavirus.
It's true. That's true. I hope that this is teaching people some healthier methods, maybe. But hey. We will, let's move on to the show. Good morning. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by the one and only Charlie Collier, and, of course, can't miss him from video, from phone, I guess it's not video, from phone, we have back in the, back on the show today, Chance Collins. Chance, welcome back, we missed you yesterday.
What's up, fellas?
How are you doing today?
Oh, good, good. I miss you guys as well. It's a little different. Doing the show from home, not seeing you guys face to face, but nobody knows if I have pants on or not.
Well, Chance,
do you have pants on?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh! Hey, I like it. A little bit of mystery, a little bit of intrigue here off the, at the start of the morning. Is Chance wearing pants? It's the question of the day. We might find out the answer a little bit later on. Gentlemen,
no, it's good. I've been social distancing. I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. I tried to get out. I got myself a little bit of sunshine. Went on a little bike ride with my girlfriend's daughter. We did that for about 4 to 5 hours. Really tried to get out and try to not be miserable in the house.
A 5 hour
really
bike ride?
Do something, but be safe about it at the same time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe the Netflix and the Hulu and the Amazon and everything like that, it's getting a little bit old. I'll tell you what. So, hey, go out there and enjoy some sunshine. Gentlemen, we have a great show today. How is everyone doing here in the studio?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Okay.
Fantastic, Rick.
Good. Good to hear. Charlie, I don't know how fantastic you will be by the end of the show, which we'll certainly get into that in a little bit.
Staring me in the face.
It is. It is. If you have been familiar with the show before, you know.
See it, Chuck. You see it?
Yeah, no, it's just looking at me while I sit here.
It's the point. We have a bottle of hot sauce on the table, a bottle of hot sauce that has been very important to the history of the Blitz. Chance and I, we have both gotten blitzed by this hot sauce. Brandon, he is the lone non-victim here.
It's my sauce!
I know, you're the sauce man. Brandon's got the sauce. And Chuck, you will be the next victim. I'm not even going to put it as the next participant, the next applicant, none of those. You are the next victim.
I might just quit the show before the last segment.
Chance.
Never come back.
Chance today, this morning, when we Brandon and I were at the show, Charlie had rolled up to the studio, I don't know, about 9:30, 9:40 or so, and he did not realize that he had this bet payoff going today. By the way, you probably heard this on the show yesterday, but Chuck sent Yan Gomes through the first round. That's why the bet payoff
Terrible
is happening.
Decision.
Now, Chuck walks into the studio today about 9:30, 9:40. He walks in empty-handed. And we go, Chuck, you must not have remembered that you have the bet payoff today. Where's the milk? Where's the water? Where's anything like that? So Chuck turned his butt around, walked to his car, drove to the gas station, made it all the way back for the start of the show, had to get some milk.
All they had was Nesquik.
It's a good thing you got some milk, Chuck. Rookie mistake if you wouldn't have got any. That stuff's no joke, man. I hope Yan Gomes was worth it.
It was not. I'm going to throw up, Chance.
Yeah, and you're already locked in.
You're not gonna throw
I'm
up.
I throw up easily from spicy foods. I'm bad with spicy foods.
You want me to tell you about it, Chuck?
Sure. Tell me a little bit about it.
The End is a sauce that sits at 6 million Scoville units. Making it an insanely spicy sauce. In fact, the only way to make it this hot is by using extracted capsaicin, the element that makes us feel the burn.
No.
No. Burn, Chuck. Feel the burn.
I
got to
look up what was it?
Capsaicin.
Okay. What was the measurement?
6 million Scoville units.
Okay, I gotta go look up what that means at the break.
Yeah,
it does not sound good.
It's gonna be really interesting to hear his reactions when he looks up those units of measurement. That's coming up a little bit later on the show. You won't want to miss it. But we're gonna start out today here talking about the college football season. We all know what the coronavirus has done, right? Everything that it's affected. Now, a lot of the things that it's affected have been kind of here in the moment. The NBA season was ongoing. The SEC tournament was just a game away from being started. Hell, it was just, what was it, Brand? 6 minutes away from being started? Like something along those lines.
What, the basketball?
Yeah. March Madness got shut down about a week before, so everything has been shut down in the here and now, but there's a lot of things we don't know of towards the future. For instance, what about the NFL, which starts in August? What about college football, which starts in August? And that's where we are going to start off our conversation here today. Are college sports in trouble? Is the college football season potentially in trouble with the coronavirus? That is the answer that we're going to try to find out today.
I mean, I know we'll get into it here in a little bit, but I right now it's just hard to see past really. Today, I mean,
it is.
In this situation, it's hard to just see past today. It's hard to see what tomorrow is going to bring and what changes are going to come tomorrow or the next week or in 2 weeks or in a month. It's just hard to tell. I mean, it's an ever-changing situation, and it's hard to really make plans. We talked about the basketball season taking it one game at a time. I mean, I feel like you got to take this one day at a time.
Yeah.
You can't really make plans.
You really do. And that's the tricky part, is that there are still organizations that need to make plans, but you're right. You can't, right? And us as fans, us as people who sit here and talk about this thing every day, we look and we know these events are coming up, but we know that we have less and less answers every single day. But here's the deal when it comes to college football. And Brian Kelly, who, Notre Dame head coach, he went on the Scott Van Pelt Show, SportsCenter, whatever it is they do, last night, and he was talking about this. And so what Brian Kelly said was that if the Irish, at least, cannot begin training by July 1st, that he feels like it will definitely affect their season. Now, July 1st, only a couple months away, but here's how he got to that number, and here's why I think that you can use kind of that date in regards to all of college football. So Let's kind of work backwards a little bit. Tennessee's first game is on September 5th, right?
Yeah.
So it means that, you know, you would need to open up practice sometime well before that, sometime in August, sometime in July. Now, according to Brian Kelly, there's a lot of different kind of timelines that you have to factor in when you do think about these things. For instance, the Irish, their first game is on August 29th, which means that they could theoretically open preseason practice on July 31st. But before that, you got to have some time to get the players reacclimated to, you know, the football world. These are kids. These are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who have been home the last 4 months doing what all we have been doing. It's not like they can go to the gym. It's not like they can go, you know, to public gyms and shoot basketball or play football or something like that. That is much different of a task in today's day and age. So you take a couple weeks off for that. Brian Kelly says that strength and conditioning coaches are going to want at least 6 weeks. You need to start training your team before practices for at least 4 weeks. Sports medicine is probably looking at 4 to 6 weeks. There's so many things that has to be done before the season can be started that if it doesn't look like it's happening at the beginning of July, it does look like the college football season will be affected by this.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to get the whole training aspect of it in. I mean, these guys, yeah, they may be working out at home, but I even if they are, that's not the same as going through strength and conditioning program at a high-level SEC football program.
Yeah, and you got to get up to tip-top shape.
So, I mean, you've got to get guys in shape. You've got to, I mean, you've also got guys, I mean, talk about just Tennessee specifically. You've got basically the entire defensive staff is new with the exception of Derek Ansley and Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, those coaches they're not going to be familiar with their guys. I mean, that's a whole off season that they have, where they're not out there practicing and getting to know the guys in their position groups.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's not even a part I thought about until you just brought it up. It's going to be tough for the football coaches to really dive deep into the playbook or schemes or whatever it is with these kids. And so it's really interesting because I do think that something happens with this college football season. And maybe it all goes perfectly fine. Maybe this the pandemic does die down and you can start getting people back onto the field, back onto campus by July 1st, or at least sometime in mid-July. But then, I do worry about what this college football season will look like. Will this be an anomaly of a college football season? I do believe so. I believe with the shortened timeline, I believe with the likely shortened strength and conditioning, with the likely shortened practice time, with maybe these kids having so much less activity than what they're used to in the months leading up to the football season, I wonder if it's going to be a more sloppy college football season. I wonder if it's going to be a more injury-ridden college football season. There are so many factors that could affect this.
And at that point, if that is the case and it's a sloppy season, who does that benefit? And in a season where you may not get a full training camp or a full fall camp or whatever, or your strength and conditioning program gets cut short, who does that benefit? Does it benefit teams like Tennessee? Does it benefit teams like Alabama, teams that are already at the top?
Yeah, it's interesting to dive into. We'll catch a quick break right here and then come back with the same topic on the other side because I do want to continue diving deep into this and seeing what we can figure out with the college football season approaching. We already got our basketball season robbed away. Hopefully our football season doesn't take the same fate. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz. Why don't you come with me, little girl? Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you as we are moving through the show today. Starting off the show, talking a little bit of college football. How is the COVID crisis being handled by college football, and how is college football ultimately going to be affected by this? Now, there's a couple interesting ways that I've been thinking about this as we go on. So let's jump into a hypothetical world, right?
Okay.
So let's just say that July 1st, all college teams are allowed to come in and begin practicing, begin the training program, whatever it else is, right? say it dies down enough over the next couple months to where that is a possibility. The ultimate question that sports are going to have to answer, as opposed to the rest of the world, in certain cases, is how much does the individual outweigh the whole? Right? Because at this point, we have been stopping all sports for one positive coronavirus case. Right? Rudy Gobert got it in the NBA. We wanted to, you know, it got shut down, and rightfully so.
I mean, he was kind of the first domino, but I think it was coming. It was gonna get to that eventually, right?
Yeah, and no doubt about it, right? We were at the point then where we knew that more would get positive with it, and eventually that did happen. The Lakers, the Nets, the 76ers, right? They all eventually came into contact with it. But here's what I wonder, right? Because there's got to be an end to this whole thing for the sports world, because the sports world ending is different from the way that restaurants and bars are just going to go back to normal operation, right? The sports world was affected by one player. So here's my question, is how much is one player going to affect the whole organization? Let's just say this Tennessee team. Let's say all of Tennessee comes back to spring practice, or just summer practice, fall practice, whatever it is, on July 1st. This is what? I don't know, 70 to 100 players, 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 coaches and other staff on the field. So let's just say 150 players. 150 people on the field, in the building, on campus, for what? 129 different programs across the country? Somebody at some point is likely going to have some sort of coronavirus spread in that case. But the question is, are we advanced enough at that point to not let that be a hindrance, to not have to shut down the whole team? Is it something where you can just, you know, say, hey, I don't know who's a player. Hey, Alante Taylor, we're just going to kind of keep you out of things for the next week or two and then bring you back in. But we're not going to need to shut down the whole thing because we feel like we've advanced past that. We feel like we can handle the outbreak nowadays. I don't think sports are going to resume until that question is answered. Because what if one guy gets it on the team? Are you now going to have to re-shut down the whole operation? That's what the NCAA, that's what the NBA, that's what the NFL, that's what whoever else, the XFL, WWE, that's what they're all going to have to figure out, is at what point does that reverse? Does the individual not outweigh the whole program? Because in everything else, it has so far. And I don't think that's going to come for a long time, which is why I don't think this college football season is going to be anywhere on the right track. And if it does, I think it's going to be very sloppy. I think there's going to be a lot of injuries. But right now, I cannot believe that even a season that is projected to start on September 5th for Tennessee, I think it's still out of the question right now because of all the things that has to happen in the 2 to 3 months leading up into it. Chance, what about you? What do you think about this whole college football thing so far, with how it could be affected later on in the next couple months?
Yeah, I think Brandon made a really good point as far as the whole, like, you know, yes, it's Rudy Gobert, and we made a lot of jokes about that, but this thing was going to metastasize. It was going to eventually be some athlete that was going to have it, that was going to, you know, rock the sports world, that we were going to have to talk about. But I think the biggest thing about the college football, you know, Brian Kelly coming out saying his guys won't be ready. I think, yes, you have to worry about incoming guys, like, trying to adapt to the level of collegiate athletics coming from high school. I think the biggest reason why I think it's going to be pushed back, and the biggest concern that I would think, and maybe for top administrators, is safety. Like, getting the guys back out there on the field, practicing, you know, guys coming from high school, you know, proper tackling techniques, like the safety involved with the game of football. You need those weeks of practice. Like, you can't just get out there and say, go play full speed, you know, go do a spring game, go get ready to start the season in a month. I think my concern would be for the safety of the players, because you need the weeks of practice to make sure guys are being safe. Like, I know they've been playing football for all their lives, but I think safety would be a key concern.
Yeah, and even to add on to that, like, how about how much your body has to be physically ready to handle just the grind of an SEC football season, right? You can't just go from from streaming Call of Duty for three straight months with the other guys on the team straight into jumping back into an SEC practice. If I tried to go jump into an SEC practice right now, both my ACLs would tear in 3 seconds, right? Because my body is not up to those standards, is not even up to practice standards. And I know that I am not even comparable to any kind of even high school athlete in the slightest, but there still is a safety concern of, hey, these guys, their bodies have to be in physical shape in order to go through these drills, in order to go through the conditioning first and foremost.
I'm a little bit more optimistic, Rick.
Okay.
You know, some of the more recent projections from some of these epidemiologists or whatever.
Big word.
You call them, yeah. Maybe a little too big for me, but.
Oh, you did good.
Oh, thanks. They're now kind of walking back some of these massive projections about this virus, saying, hey, you know what, maybe it's going to peak here sooner than we thought, and it won't last as long as we thought. And both MLB owners and Manfred himself, and then some NBA owners as well, have now said that they think that they're going to be able to start back. They're aiming for a point in mid-May, based on, you know, some of the conversations they've had with some of the top doctors and everything else. So if they can get back going in mid-May, I would be optimistic that we have this thing under control enough, that we know enough about it, that by, you know, the start of July, by the end of June, that we can get these kids back on campus, back working out, and still hopefully be ready for this college football season. Because, you know, especially after the big insurance, you know, thing that NCAA had to pull out for March Madness, and, you know, the money they lost there, they're going to be kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, doing anything they can to make sure this college football season happens.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point about baseball and about MLB, because ultimately they're going to be the first ones to likely do something, right? The NBA has, the NBA to me seems like it's going to be a longer postponement. I'm not really sure. Maybe that's just because, well, today actually was supposed to be the start of opening day. So I don't really know, but I guess we will have those few professional organizations between MLB, the NBA, things of that nature before we do figure out what will happen with college football. But, man, there's so much speculation, because ultimately everyone's right. Like, we don't know how this thing's going to wind up. We just know that there are timetables that kind of need to be hit in order for the season to be ready, just like Brandon said, in ways that benefits everybody involved, in ways that benefits the fans, the players, the coaches, and everyone else who takes a part of that team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I said earlier, it's hard to tell what to do. I mean, I saw where that Imperial study that everybody was freaking out about last week, they have seemed to change their opinion on it a little bit. I don't know. It's ever changing. I mean, who knows? This could be. You've got to think too. School's basically shut down the rest of the semester, right?
It is,
and it could be under control, and you could get students back on campus in the summer and in the fall. But if it's not, do you even have students back on campus in the fall?
And I know we're up against it right now, but there's even so much to like. I don't think that fans will be allowed in stadiums, even if this slowly does start to pass and people can get back to their normal lives. I think that stadiums will be one of the last things to go back to normal. There is so much to it. We're not done talking about it. We're not going anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
What the hell is this?
It's a good song.
I don't know how I like Chuck being in charge of the music.
Chance, you've done a great job teaching Charlie so far, but we gotta get some of these songs out of the system, all right? We got to take the risky ones out of the system so he can't even play them.
He's something like the fish was when he just tapped into a whole new world. It's like 2 days ago, he's like, oh, man, how can I add, can I find stuff? And there's like, easy, buddy. Easy. You got to crawl before you walk. You got to crawl before you walk. That one.
That's a good song.
That bad. I'll stick up for Chuck a little bit. It's not that bad.
All right. I'll be honest. I had the snaps going on under the table. Yeah, I did.
I was tapping my toe.
Chance, did you hear I added in Magic Carpet Ride?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm figuring things
like
out.
That always brings me to baseball for some reason. I think it was used on a show soundtrack or something, or like maybe an old MVP baseball game. It always makes me think about baseball.
Whenever I think about baseball and music together, I think about one of the greatest songs that's ever been put on God's green earth, Center Field. You guys know the song Center Field?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
who doesn't know the song Center Field?
One of the greats.
That always makes me think of that song or that movie Little Big League.
Yeah.
I watched that movie in the car every single road trip my entire childhood.
Little Big League. Definitely a good one.
Great movie, guys. That's a great movie. Baseball movies, we could talk all day about the greatest baseball movies. As a matter of fact, it's a very, you know, sad day because there's no opening day baseball right now. I'd be sitting back watching my Reds, the only team to get a home game every year for opening day because it's tradition.
America's team.
And I'd be excited.
Chances are the Cincinnati Reds America's team?
I mean, the only team in all of baseball who gets their opening day at home every single year.
Hey, numbers never lie. So here's something else that's kind of going on for you. We'll take the best of both worlds from the TV and the sports and also mix it with the college football. Brandon, the Tennessee takeover of the SEC network is tomorrow, all day.
Oh, great.
12 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Well, what about the other 3 hours?
I guess
that's only 21 hours.
I know. I guess I don't know. Well, the football game's going to go all the way. The final program is the football game at 9 p.m. So that's going to go until 12.
Okay. But you made it sound like it ended at 9.
The schedule and the lineup is terrible.
What we got?
Is awful.
What do we got?
Okay, so here
we
go.
The national championship.
So starting at midnight, we have football at Kentucky 2019.
Why?
Starting at 2:30 a.m., we have football versus Mississippi State 2019.
Ugh.
At 5 a.m., we have SEC story, the color orange. That's the Condrich Holloway story. That's a great one. At 6 a.m., Brandon, we have men's basketball versus Florida 2020.
Okay.
At 7:30 a.m., we have softball versus Auburn 2019. Moving on, women's basketball versus Alabama 2020.
We just saw these.
Then we have the Pat XO story. Then we have women's basketball versus Missouri 2020. We have men's basketball versus Kentucky 2019. Football versus South Carolina 2019. Men's basketball versus Kentucky 2020. And football versus Indiana, the 2020 Gator Bowl.
Did they accidentally delete all their archives and they're trying to hide it from us?
That's my question. Why do we have to watch football versus Mississippi State from this last year?
What are other teams showing? Can you tell me that?
That's a good question. I can I'll look into it in a minute.
I saw the Florida takeover the other day, and it looked like an older game. Maybe.
I certainly hope that that these SEC takeovers are not just like games within the last year. That kind of feels lame.
I think with all this extra time, they should give each team 2 days, and the second time around, just show all their worst heartbreaking losses.
Oh, my God. What a terrible idea.
No, because how much fun would it be to just sit there and watch, like, Alabama and Florida and, like, Kentucky, their worst, most heartbreaking, crushing losses?
My thing is that if it didn't come at the hands of Tennessee, then I don't, like, it's just...
Nah, it brings me joy either way.
Oh, yeah, that's
first
fair.
First of all, Chuck, that sounds dumb because then Tennessee fans would have to watch all their heartbreak.
Well, we're not going to watch our own team. We're going to watch the other ones.
Second of all, I think ESPN's like missing out. Like on a time like this when, you know, first of all, they should go ahead and drop the Jordan documentary. We would all be tuned in.
Yes. We would be glued.
Gosh, the ratings would be just phenomenal for them for an entire week. And they could just slow play us. They could give us one episode a week and we'd all tune in. Second, it seems like you would want to play like the classic, like, you know, the 98 season, like the big games where Tennessee won, because then you're going to have a lot more fans, like, you know, the Dobbsnail boot and then the Hobnail boot, like games like that. Like people want to see those games. Like,
yeah. Why?
The game.
Even if it's at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? Because we're all, you know, a lot of us do have some kind of maybe recording capability or something. But even for those 5 o'clock AMs, can we not get Florida 2016? Can we not get the streak ending? Can we not end the, like what you were saying, Chance, the Hail Mary versus Georgia? Can we not maybe dive back into the 2000s, the late 90s? I mean, it seems kind of weird.
Like the Notre Dame game. Like there's so many great games that they could show. You could go back to, 2007, the run to get to the SEC championship. I'm pretty sure that's 2007, right? Like, you could just – there's so many other – great games you could reel in fans by doing so instead of just showing this past year. Like, we all know what happened this past year, and I'm talking about fans of all teams. Like, they know what just happened.
Yeah, we just saw it.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, is it not a great history lesson? Like, I am 23 years old. I would love to go, you know, turn on SEC Network or whatever it is at 3 o'clock this afternoon and see Tennessee, Alabama from sometime in the 90s, or Tennessee, Florida, and get a little bit of a history lesson. Why do we care about the games that were just on 5 months ago? Crazy, man. So
I got an idea for ESPN.
Okay.
I think they should just pick like a really good college football season and just give us like a 2 week shortened version. You don't have to go Saturday to Saturday. You can just go Monday week one, Tuesday week two, and just show the important games throughout the day. I'd pick 2007 because it's the craziest season in college football history. And just give it to us for, like, 2 weeks.
It's not a bad idea. Well, you could even, like, just put that on the ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
just, you know, something. Or something like that.
I got a confession.
You got a confession, Brian? This is the place.
I can't do the old games. I can't watch them.
Why not?
I know what happens.
But is it... It's
I can't do
okay.
it.
Okay, I'm not going to blame you because I totally get that. There's a million things in the world that if I know the ending, I lose all interest. But there's a little bit of a history lesson in all these
not
games.
Not watching these.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with these, no.
Oh, I totally agree
but, like,
with you.
But the big ones.
Why could I – like, there's no way I'm going to turn on anything except maybe the Peyton Manning story, the Condra Holloway story, and probably Pat Summitt.
But even the games, even like, the older ones.
I know.
Like, if they were to show the – I don't know. Like, I would watch the end. I feel like the end would be cool for Tennessee winning a big game. Like, if you showed Tennessee-Florida 98, like Cody, I feel like the end would be cool.
Cody and I watched a shortened version of Tennessee-Alabama in 95 about a week or so ago, and that was pretty good. But I do see what you're saying. And the fact that, hey, if you've already seen it before, if you already know the score,
like, yeah, sure, show
it
me,
might take a lot of interest
like,
out.
Show me the highlights. But I don't want to sit and watch a 3-hour game that I already, like, from 20 years ago. Really? Like, hey, who booed me? Was that you, Charles?
No, I think
it was. Or was that Chance?
I think that was Chance. Well, I know it's not me, so.
Yeah, I booed you. I can still do this at home. The soundboard is still up.
He is one with the soundboard.
Yeah, the one. I am the one that knocks. I disagree with Brandon, though. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I don't. Sometimes I can't watch. I'm more like that with, like, movies and TV shows. Like, if somebody spoils it for me, say Avengers or things like that. Like, I really.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like
hard
Avengers.
For me to watch those things. But.
Smart
sports,
example.
Like, I dove back into the 2013 Florida State run a little bit ago on YouTube. And I may not watch the entirety of all the games, but I'll watch, like, you know, highlights here and there. I enjoy the classic. I like going back and watching, like, old Knicks-Bulls games, the Pacers-Knicks with Spike Lee and Reggie Miller going back and forth. Like, I enjoy those.
Now, see, I disagree with you, Chance. I feel like movies and TV shows you can watch again and again because, you know what? You pick up on things that you didn't see the first time. You don't really get that with sports.
Yeah, maybe you do.
You do sometimes with sports.
Like what? What are you picking up on the second go around?
You might have missed a play, or you just have a certain level of appreciation for a play when you go back and watch it. Maybe the level of difficulty that was there, or just like something that you missed. Like, oh man, that was a no look pass by that guy right there. Just like I feel like there's always something I can go back. I lose the interest when it's a TV show and somebody's told me. I just because I know, and maybe that's because it's fictional.
See, here's what's really interesting to me is how everybody's got their certain things that they will rewatch at any point in time, or the things that they won't, right? Because they feel bored from it. Brandon, you're saying right now how sports are hard for you to go back and rewatch, but
like I feel like that's I feel like the best part of sports is that it's live. I feel
yes.
like that's the best part of
but
sport.
But like I will totally flip-flop with you, right? You also love watching live performances of music.
Yes.
Right? You will go and watch an Elton John, the Rolling Stones, well, something awesome. Like that, and watch their live performance. But it's performance you've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, watching that live music performance is so much tougher, especially if it's for a second time, is so much tougher than knowing the ending to sports or a movie. So it's – and there's obviously not a right and wrong answer. It's interesting to see everybody, the things that they will rewatch and the things that they have trouble rewatching. It's just kind of a society question.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. But anyways.
Rewatch 2020.
Yeah, I guess that's what this year will be good for. It's just rewatching and getting your history facts straight. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're coming back on the other side of the break. We'll close out hour number one here in a minute. And then the second round of the greatest vol of them all, Blitz Edition. You won't want to miss it.
Now I'm rich, deep, salty. All this designer on my body got me drip, drip. Story
time here on the Blitz. Brandon, I'm going to turn this one over to you.
All right, let's go to Manchester, New Hampshire, where a man has been accused of grabbing a 2.5-foot-long sword, a sword, and chasing after another man who asked him to turn down his music. A man knocked on the door of Benjamin Leyland, 47, on Monday, and police said that Leyland reportedly became upset and grabbed the sword. He allegedly chased the man down a hallway, and but the man he was chasing thankfully got away and there were no injuries. Leyland was charged with criminal threatening. He was scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday. It wasn't immediately known if he had a lawyer who could speak on his behalf. A 2.5-foot-long sword. He's like Jon Snow out here.
A sword.
Either of you own a sword?
I can't get over you saying that. Do I own a sword? No. Like a katana of sorts? Uh-uh. A broadsword? No.
I don't have it here, but I do have one.
My RuneScape account has many.
I think everyone needs a sword.
Wait, what?
There's a RuneScape account of mine somewhere on the internet from years and years and years ago. It had lots of good swords. That's the closest I've ever gotten.
Chance, do you have a sword?
I have no swords. When I was growing up, I had a couple dart guns.
Oh,
no swords.
Like a blow dart?
Yeah, like a blow dart gun. Oh. And I had it looked like a little 9mm dart gun too. That was like an air pistol dart gun.
We should.
I was really into dart guns for whatever reason.
You should bring the blow dart gun in, and if Chuck messes up, you just boom right in the neck.
Right to the neck.
I'm too strong for that. Wouldn't knock me out.
A little tranquilizer shot. But no, like I was just thinking, I was listening to that story, and then I found it online as you were talking about it. I don't know what the hell I would do if somebody was chasing me with a sword.
You'd run. You'd run like the other guy.
Yeah, I'd run. Like. If I'm carrying at the time, I'm gonna probably shoot you. Like,
dude,
you can't chase people
just because he asked him to turn his music down.
I just pull out my sword.
That's all. Chase him with a sword. Like, I thought at first this wasn't a Florida man story.
Right? No, New Hampshire. New Hampshire man.
I was like, what the hell? Like, people are really chasing people with swords out here.
He was really jamming. He didn't want to turn his music down.
No, dude. It's a pandemic out here.
Charles,
play my music as loud as I want to. There's no quiet hours during a pandemic.
Disagree. Our neighbors, Chance, I can't participate in this conversation because it just makes me heated thinking about my current upstairs neighbors that are so loud all the time. And if any of them chase me with a sword, you know what? I think I'm so angry at this point. I'm not running.
No, they would end you.
I am fighting for my apartment.
They would end you.
They would end you, just like the sauce is about to end, Charles.
Do you need to borrow my sword?
This is the only time ever where we will be able to throw out quiet hours. This is a pandemic. Like, I barely know what day it is some days.
I know. It is tough to remember your days. It's tough to remember the days. You would get run through with a sword if they were chasing you, Rick.
No, I can't.
He's the fastest man in the fan run.
I can certainly outrun them.
Said you weren't running.
Oh, you're right.
No, you got to run and then get behind them and then disarm them, and then you have the sword.
I don't think that
would
work.
Smart idea.
Thank you. I have a lot of them.
What kind? That's debatable.
What if I find a big rock? I can run, find a big rock.
And then throw it at him.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Spoiler alert. that didn't work on Parasite. What kind of sword do you have, Chuck?
I have like great a one. Really big samurai sword under my bed.
Under your bed?
Yeah.
You don't keep that thing on the wall? You
no,
should.
It's just
you should keep it somewhere where it's easily accessible.
Or it's like next
what
to my
what if you
bed,
wake up
it's
and
like
there's somebody standing in your doorway? And
well,
then,
I hope I would have noticed before they got to there. I live in a far like back corner of my apartment.
What if you're asleep?
Hey, wait 1 minute. We cannot just gloss over the fact that Brandon Orr just ruined Parasite for me?
I said spoiler alert.
But I'm engaged with the show. I can't turn it off. That's different from somebody in a car. They can turn it off. I'm on the show. What
Rick,
are you doing?
Tell him it
honestly,
didn't ruin
I don't
anything.
Think he I've seen Parasite. I don't really think he
it
ruined anything.
It didn't ruin anything.
Because I couldn't even remember what scene that was.
Brandon! Did it to me again, Rick.
Brandon ruined the show for Chance!
It didn't ruin anything.
Oh.
But yeah, no, my samurai sword, it's fine. I got it in a warehouse, paid $5 for it.
Well, just picture this, Chuck. There's a gunman standing in your doorway.
Well, the samurai sword's not working anyway if he has a gun.
Fine. Yeah, I totally agree. Your
you're
hypotheticals
supposed to dodge
are
the
really
bullet
off
and then,
right
like,
now.
Roll over.
Chances, the gun sound made me think of a gun. What if there's just a man standing in your doorway? You're like, oh, wait a second. Let me reach under my bed
well,
and find my sword.
Well, if it's just a man, I'll fight him. I got
the
fists.
The gun sound was me shooting any hopes of you ever not spoiling any good movie.
I didn't spoil the movie! I didn't spoil the movie!